Did I get it? I got a red light. Oh, I got sound. Praise you, Jesus. Can the church, can the bride of Christ say, I love you, Jesus? 1, 2, 3. I love you, Jesus, and I want to love you more. 1, 2, 3. And I want to love you more. Friends, I'm so grateful to be here tonight. It's so beautiful out here, and this is a magnificent church. And I just am so grateful to be with you. And Awaken Ministries is a beautiful ministry. I'm going to watch my time. So, you know, the language of praise and adoration of our King, Jesus Christ, truly present as we enthrone him tonight, as the dear Father carried him up. I just, in my mind's eye, I see the King coming and resting. And he is pleased. He's so pleased to have you here gazing on him. And I love the language of praise. We reach our hands, and I don't have these trademarked, you can define them more broadly, but we reach our hands up. We touch heaven. Every time we raise our hands, you think of those fingertips getting in heaven and just trickling down you with the joy of heaven. Just do it with me really quick. Oh, praise you, Lord. And then when we go like this, I always think of surrender. I surrender, Jesus. I surrender. You know, and it's also, I praise you. I praise you. I surrender. This one, our deepest identity. I'm a beggar. I'm a beggar. I need you. I have nothing without you, Jesus. And one of my favorite definitions of evangelization is one beggar telling another beggar where he can find bread. Amen? Jesus. And so, I pray, Jesus, that every person in this church would give their testimony and their witness to tons of people, far more than this church times 50, but that we would do it day to day, person to person, and ready to share the reason for our faith. And Jesus, I pray that there's people in this church tonight that are hungry for you. We all want to hunger for you, but there's people in here tonight, Jesus, that really need you to break through, that need you to just kick down the door and let them know who you are, and just let them know, like, there's no need to worry or fear or be anxious. You know it, Jesus. And Lord, I ask for the people here that are already hugging you and desiring that you'd raise them to greater levels of sanctity, that you would send us out of this church tonight on fire to share you with the world. This is my fourth time to be with Awaken Ministries to share a testimony, and I'm going to go back to the first time and share my story. And I just offer this story. It's a simple story of a sinner that Jesus loves. And there's many stories like it out there, and your story is absolutely precious. I pray that through this story, you will have a deep confidence in intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. We storm the gates of heaven with intercessory prayer. We come and we just clobber Satan over the head with intercessory prayer. Jesus does the clobbering. The power of intercessory prayer. I pray that through this testimony, you would have a confidence in your own love affair with Jesus Christ, that he's wild about you, that the infinite God who made you and truly has infinite power chose in all his freedom to die for you. And for me, that we'd have a new confidence in the power of speaking of Jesus Christ. When you get that chance to share your testimony, when you talk about him, there's power in those words. The other day, I practiced being the Good Samaritan. Jesus just drew me out of my shell, yanked me off. There's so many times I pass on the side of the road and I won't stop because one reason or another. But that gospel last weekend, so the Lord just was like, here's your chance. So I pulled over and helped this man and this woman, and they had a bunch of tattoos and stuff, and those earrings that make your ears stretch out. Never judge the book by its cover. And I just start helping, and this is God's mercy. Like, I am so in need of his mercy and love. And the priests in here, we know, like, oh, when you become a priest, you realize, like, oh no, I really need to, like, how much more, you know? So this story is how he can use sinners. It's an example of God using us. And so, and the power of the gospel. So I start helping these people, and then finally I just told them. I was like waiting for the right opportunity. I said, Jesus told me to do this. And then we started talking about Jesus. And I told him what Jesus, I just did it. I was like, and he loves you so much. He died for you. And you got to lay your cards on the table sometime. Go for it. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw the woman. Her face started to light up. And I stopped and said, does this bring you joy? And she said, yeah. And I said, that's the gospel. It's good news. And these words, I told them, they're divinely powered. And when you hear them, there's truth. So may we leave this church tonight knowing intercessory prayer is powerful. That your testimony, when you speak about Jesus, don't be scared to do it. God will change lives. And every day, ask him. He'll do this. Every day, ask him, Jesus, send me people. Oh, baby. Get ready. I don't want to do it. You're in. You asked. And it will amaze you. And they took a cross and a miraculous medal and down the road. And I pray that Tyler and Jordan will know what the Lord has done for them and fall in love with him. My story, one quick thing, the Lord put a word on my heart was, I saw coming in tonight a fleet of priests coming into this church. If you're a priest, raise your hand. Oh my gosh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think there's at least 6 priests here tonight. Can we thank Jesus for these priests? Thank you, Jesus. And praise you. And now, if you're a religious sister, raise your hand. Okay, there's none here tonight, and the Lord wants to change that. So, the Lord, and as we praised and adored, I just want to say this, young men and women, as I praise the Lord tonight, there was a word put on my heart. There are young men and women in this church that God wants to raise up as priests and religious. I want every young person in this church, and anybody who's eligible, but particularly, I got a sense that that God wants to raise up young men and women in this church for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And tonight, young and future saints under 18, and maybe there's men and women in here that are thinking that too, that are in their 30s. Go for it. I particularly ask our young folks tonight, ask Jesus. Better yet, give them permission. Jesus, I surrender. If you want me to be a priest or a religious, take me, and you will fall in love. Priest, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whoa. It's all about falling in love and staying in love. Our vocation with our husband, our wife, with the Lord, and as religious, with the Lord and his bride, the church. Okay, so I was born on the east side of Detroit, and I'm going to weave in and out a little bit, but we'll get there. So I was born on the east side of Detroit, one of 8 children. My older brother, Robert, is not a canonized saint, but he is a saint. I'm convinced. He was a stillborn at 7 months. And Mama sure wanted to get him baptized, but he came out, you know, he had breathed his last. And that, by my mom's desire, I would call that baptism of desire. I think that would extend to him and Robert. The more I tell my conversion, the when I get to share the conversion story, and the Lord put it on my heart a while ago, you got to tell it. When you get the opportunity to tell your conversion story, tell it, because it's his glory. It's not about us. I mean, it is about us because we're cooperating and we are a product of it. We're like, why are you so joyful and happy? And why do you have hope? And like, because Jesus. Amen? Yeah. So, but we don't have to worry about being self-conscious. Like, I had it all together. I really sold him on that one. Don't worry about it. Who cares if you're sloppy? Just give him the glory and say, Jesus, I was a mess. And he picked me up and dusted me off. So I'm grateful to have the chance to tell this story tonight. And so as I look on, I think about how God's providence continues to guide us. One day, I pray we get the chance when we're about to go to heaven or when we're in heaven, I talk too fast. Yep. Raise your hand if I'm talking too fast. Be honest with me. Honesty is charity. Yep. Okay. If I talk slow, we'll be here till Tuesday morning. Raise your hand if you'll run out and get donuts and coffee. Okay, I'm going to try to slow down. I needed that. Okay, so Robert, I think about Robert and his prayers and the power of intercession, the saints praying for us. And I hope one day in heaven, and I think it'll happen, we'll get to look back and see, God's providence was all over my life. Like he knew literally the seat you were going to be sitting in when you got here. He knew it. What's your daughter's name? Isabel. Did you know Jesus got you front row tickets for tonight? Yeah. Can you say thanks, Jesus? Yeah. Providence is all around, all around. And so the story, you know, the providence of how he's worked, it's amazing. And so I grew up on the east side of Detroit, and my mom and my dad, we lived over on the east side, and my mom and my dad were both Catholic, of a Catholic background. And my, you know, I remember when I was a child, I did go to Catholic school, and there were some happy memories. I can remember that my first communion was special. I can remember a very happy memory of being out on the church lawn with my family at an ice cream social. The church is a warm, your body is so beautiful, Jesus, the way he holds us, Mother Church. So some happy memories. And one of my favorite family memories is being out on the lake with my dad and my mom, and all of us were playing in the water. And you know, family is a microcosm of God, right? Like it's the vital cell of society. It's a domestic church, a cell, you know, like God loves family. Covenant means sacred family relationship. Our families are so sacred, and that's going to be a big part of the new evangelization and the bomb that's about to go off in Detroit. Seriously, I don't know if you heard or not, but there is something brewing in Detroit. Amen? Amen. Jesus, just let it explode, Lord. Let it explode. And so my family, there was divorce. And my mom and dad got divorced. And, you know, it was terrible. My dad was, he was unwell. He was fighting some demons. And he was not stable anymore. And he stepped out of the scene. And Jesus Christ always gets the last word. And we were praying for him and praying for him. And toward the end of his life, he started to come around big time. And you know, he became a cross-country truck driver, and I remember him coming home, and we had some incredible, I got to drive him to his first confession in 30-some years, and just incredible stories that would keep us here till Tuesday morning, and I remember him telling me that getting divorced was the worst thing that ever happened. And so, moms and dads, fight for each other, fight for your family, it's so big. And if you've been through divorce, or if you're a child of divorce, God will do great things, don't worry. He never wants that to happen, but he gets the last word. And my mom always loved my dad. My dad always loved my mom. They never got annulled. They never got remarried. And he died in her arms as she said, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. What love. So let's fight for our families. Let's fight for our prayer time so we can be the mothers and the fathers and the husbands and the wives that Jesus is calling us to be. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so after the divorce, my mom was raising 7 kids on her own, and things got really tough for her. And I mean, she did the best she could. She was awesome. She is awesome. And it's hard to keep 7 kids in line. And you know, I'd go to church to pick up the church paper, and that was it. And then, you know, I'd occasionally pop in, but I began to drift into my high school years, and I was numb. I was numb. And high schoolers, if you remember one thing, can you raise your hand if you're a high schooler? Oh, raise it high. If you're a high schooler, if you remember one thing from this, I'm so glad you're here. We love you. We are so glad you're here. And, oh, you are going to do amazing things. The Lord's going to do amazing things through you. If you remember one thing from this talk, let it be, Jesus, I surrender. Do whatever you want with me. If you want me to be a priest or religious, I'm yours. The other thing is, in high school, I was numb. I was numb. Numb and being swept along by the waves of the world. And just, maybe the other thing to remember is just, don't be numb. Just say it with me, and the whole church will say it with you. Jesus, don't let me be numb.
Jesus, don't let me be numb.
St. Deanna said, be who you're meant to be. Be who God made you to be, and you'll light the world on fire. Fire warms things. Just be in love with him, and you will warm the world around you. I was numb. And I had my first couple of, I was a pretty good kid. I didn't get into inappropriate activity with the body. I didn't, you know, drink in high school or do drugs. And till the end. And in high school, I started to drink a little bit at the end. And just a little bit. And then I went off to college. And in college, I really fell apart. You know, I just started to get into the darkness of, started slow. It was a slow descent of getting drunk. And it started to lead to more. And my little rule of don't hurt anybody and everything else is fine began to fade away. And I would hurt people. Wasn't a good friend. Wasn't a good gentleman. And My relationship with God began to dissolve. And slowly I was declining, descending. And I got through school. I love folk music, and so I was focused on folk music, but I dove headfirst into the culture of getting drunk and other junk too. And, in college, a lot of kids will be like, everybody does this, but I was getting bad. And I made it out of college and saved a little money and moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and then played in a band down there and just continued to descend. And while I was with the band, I was happy playing music, but I became a drunk every day. And I wouldn't play music unless I was under the influence and, you know, never felt quite like I could give it my best unless I was jacked up. And I just began to get exhausted. The scriptures say, before you I lay life and death, choose life. And I was choosing death. And the wages of sin are death. And I started to feel it in my mind and in my body. And I started to get tired of living and exhausted and physically beat down. Turned 25 feeling, I don't know how old. I was exhausted and sick of it. I was tired of it. And I started to be unreliable for the band and things like that. And I was, I just started to think there's got to be more to life than this. This ain't the way I want to live. I was miserable. And God started to work. And it wasn't anything that I did. God just started to work. I got a phone call from my brother who asked if I wanted to be the godfather of Hannah. Hannah means grace, that name. Boy, did God's grace start breaking through. I had no idea what being a godfather meant. I had no idea the weight of it. All I know is that I didn't think Paul should ask me. And so I said yes, and I hung up the phone, and I started to say, whoa, what kind of man do I want to be? Because I know the kind of man I am right now, and that is not the kind of man that I would ask to be a godfather. So I started to ask questions. And then, I get another phone call from my brother Adam, and he's like, hey, I'm at Michigan State. I could use a roommate off campus. Would you think about it? And it was God's grace, so I started to think about it. And then I walked into Sam Ash Music Store one day to get some strings for a show, and God just kind of stripped me. And this desire to play music professionally just kind of left. I was like, it's gone. It really just pushed out the door. So I came home and I said, and that phone rang again, and I talked to Adam, and I just said on a whim, I'll do it. And then I hung up the phone and proceeded to tell the band, and they proceeded to be like, what are you doing? Because we just finished an album, but they knew. They had played shows with me, and they're like, he is terrible tonight. Awful, because I was gone. And so they came around and sent me off with well wishes, thanks be to God. I came back to Michigan, and the music, was set aside. I came back to Michigan, and then it became clear. I remember taking a jog with my older brother who asked me to be a godfather, and I just said, I just want to be a better man. I hadn't been to church in years. I didn't have a relationship with God, and I just wanted to be a better man. And that ran face first into addiction. I came back and I was addicted, and I continued to be a drunk and to drink every day, just about every day. And so it became clear to my brother, he's not right. Became clear to my mom. I made the mistake of going over my mom's house when I was gone. And she is such a saintly woman. And she's real. She's salt of the earth. She called me on it, and I broke down. I said, Mom, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. And so that was the first time I was able to say, whoa, I'm messed up. But after that, Satan, he's the father of lies. He creeps in, he's like, you're okay, settle down. And so then I went into this period where I began to hide drinking. I was hiding it and living in darkness and starting to try to convince myself that I didn't have a problem. And then I'm driving home, and I convinced myself that, you know what? Life's miserable here. I miss music. I'm going back to Nashville. And so I'm laying in bed one night, and I was going to run back to Nashville, go back and just live in my sickness. And I'm laying in bed one night, and I'm sleeping, and I come to, they didn't come to fully, but above me, this amazing golden presence. It was God. It was phenomenal. This amazing beautiful. I didn't see it, but I would describe the feeling as golden. And I remember it felt so good. And my back was lifting off my, because I wanted to be there. Whatever this was, I wanted to be there. And it was so beautiful. It was, I am convinced it was God, beyond the shadow of a doubt, giving me a manifestation that, and I just wanted that. And when I woke up the next morning, I knew that I couldn't go back to Nashville. I couldn't. So God just like, stop. Thank you, Jesus. He just stopped it. Gave me a taste of like, this is good. And so I, you know, I canceled the plan to go back to Nashville, but I kept falling into my addiction. Addiction is hard to beat without God. But with God, it stands no chance. And so I get into a car accident because I was drinking. And I hit this car, and they hit another car, and thanks be to God, they're okay. Nobody sued me. You probably have a hard time getting into the seminary with like lawsuits and serious crimes. And so I got to go to jail, and that was a, you know, helpful. And so you know, I come out of there, and I'm just addicted. But thank God the judge was like, you got to go to AA. And at AA, the first three steps, for the problems that it has, there's some issues with it. Like, but anyways, there's, and I wasn't caring about any of that at the time. The first thing is like coming to realize your life is unmanageable. I'm looking like, yep. Yes. And then coming to realize that there's a power, red light, power greater than, oh my gosh, there's a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity. And then it's also turning your life over to that power that you can under, the red light means 5 minutes, bucko. So for me, they know it means 10. No. So we're going to praise them. No, but I, you know, it's okay. So then I started to, those meetings were helpful, and then my sister had a Bible, and she gave me a Bible, and in it she put a note, and it said, you know, I don't have the answers to life, but here's the blueprints. And then my little sister was going to church, and I said, oh, I'll try it. And there's this guy I was working with named Mike who was filled with joy. And he invited me to a prayer group. Invite your friends to your prayer group. Invite them to your youth group. One invitation, that was huge. So slowly the Lord started to claim my heart. And one day I was reading the Psalms, and you know, and I felt the Lord say, you can give your life to me. And he showed me an image of the priesthood, and I said, whoa. And I still continued to struggle and have relapses and things like that. And there was one like heavy duty period of darkness about the age of 26 where I was so messed up. And I looked at this green love sofa in my apartment and said, God, if you're real, where are you? If you're real, where are you? And, you know, shortly thereafter, I had this dream. And Jesus, I've only had one dream like this before and since. Right in that love chair was Jesus in this dream, looking right at me. And I can still see his face clearly. And looking right at me. And the next morning, I woke up and just the room was different. I just sensed the words on my heart were, I am with you. He answered that question. I am with you. And so slowly I started to come out of the darkness little by little. And there was a big moment with the relapses because, you know, oh, baby, it takes time to beat that. So keep interceding for our friends who may be addicted. And I one time I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, if you're there, can you help me? And you just start slugging it, you know? Just the Lord, he keeps coming to heal me of this. And finally, just broke free. And I discerned, like, I had this burning desire in my heart to give my life to him. And then again, somebody told me about a discernment weekend, my mom. And I was like, whatever I do, Jesus has to be the center of my life. And she's like, have you ever thought of the priesthood? I never told anybody about what happened that one time when I felt the Lord say, you can give your life to me. So I went to a discernment weekend, and the Lord just convinced me that this was the way to give him my life. I went to the vocation director, and I told him, you know, I presented myself like a pretty normal fella. And then finally, I was like, and I'm a recently recovered drunk. I've been to jail. And I remember it was like, I'm just glad I didn't start with that, because it wouldn't have... And I'll never forget, he took a chance on me. He went to bat for me. And so the Lord just brought this incredible conversion, and I went from being miserable to being joyful, like true joy. Like, I honestly didn't want to live. I actually was pondering suicidal thoughts, and very close on a couple occasions, one particularly scary one that I was very close. Oh, and he just delivered and saved me from it. And my vocation to the priesthood is intimately tied up with that. And so, whoever it is in your life that needs that prayer, keep pouring it out. Don't be scared to tell them about Jesus. Lay your cards. There were people that were telling me about, that at least took a gamble. My mom, my brothers, like my older brother, like just people that would reach out and try. Don't hesitate. You don't know who's pondered suicide. You don't know where they're at. Reach out. Try the best you can. Let's just keep interceding for those who are hurting and trusting in God's amazing love. He is a healer, and I am truly healed. I have no desire to drink. Haven't drank since before I entered the seminary, and totally healed of that. He is just amazing. So that's my little story. I probably spent a little too much in the beginning talking about other things, but oh well. God's amazing, and He loves you, and He wants you to help reach out to others. He wants us all to just be in love with Him and have a story to share. And we all have a story, how Jesus makes all the difference. So what I'm going to do now is play this little song, and we're going to sing to Jesus. It's just, you know, a simple little hymn. And the Lord, I really wanted to just keep writing music, and the Lord let me start writing music for Him. And so our chorus, we just sing this song to Jesus together. It goes like this. I love You. Try that with me. I love You. The next part is more than anything, yeah, I do. Try it. More than anything, yeah, I do. And that's the chorus, and we just sing it twice. How can we not love Him with all of our hearts and just, oh, let's keep trying to fall in love with Him every day. And if you by chance aren't Catholic, or if you're not sure about all this, just ask Him tonight, Jesus, show me the truth of who You are. Show me the truth of the Eucharist. Beg Him for miracles. Beg Him for signs and wonders tonight. Whatever you need to be on fire for the Lord, just give Him your life. Don't leave here tonight without giving Him your life. Jesus, we sing this song to You as an offering. We give You our lives collectively through this song. Amen? Amen. I love You more than anything, yeah, I do. I love You more than anything. Jesus, Your name is sweeter than wine, more beautiful than the sun in the sky. My soul knows You, and this is all a gift. If I just sit here, I'll be filled with regret. I want to give You something back. I want to tell You how I feel. I've got this burning in my soul, and I've got some words to say, to say to You. I love more than anything, yeah, I do. I love Justine. I know Your love for me will never change. I pray my soul for You will grow more in flame, 'cause I want love you, Jesus. On 1, 2, 3, I love you, Jesus. Preach.